This evening we are ready to consider chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. We'll read verses 1 through 19. Genesis chapter 22, and we'll begin at verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here am I. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. This chapter records for us one of the greatest and clearest examples of what it means to live by faith. It's an important chapter for so many reasons, not only the type and the shadow that we're going to look at concerning the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but just the individual faith of Abraham and what it means to truly trust the Lord with your life. And so we'll begin considering when we will take several lessons to get through this chapter since there's so many lessons here for us. But let's begin by considering Abraham's personal faith. To me, one of the most tragic steps of apostasy that we have in our day to day is the corruption of what it means to have faith. What it means to live by faith. Within Christendom today, there are so many doctrines and philosophies and teachings that are in direct contradiction to this clear example of what it means to have faith. Faith to many Christians today means having boldness to demand of God whatever you think you want or need, and then expecting God to do that because you have faith, because you've commanded it so. You've spoken it with your word, and now your word has power, and so God has to act. That's the concept of many today about what faith is. But do you see how that completely contradicts the example we have here in this chapter? That concept of faith results in selfishness, and it makes God our servant and us the God, because we demand of God, and he has to fulfill our demands. When clearly that's blasphemy. Not only is it bad doctrine, it's blasphemy to think that we have power to command God. That's not what faith is. Notice that in this passage, God is the one that's doing the demanding. Abraham is not asking for anything. not demanding anything, but God is. And God's command seems a little harsh, irrational, illogical, and yet God is doing the demanding. And what we'll find out at the end of this is that though God is the one doing the demanding and Abraham's the one that must believe what he says and obey, Abraham's the one that comes out blessed. He didn't have to demand it of God because he obeyed. And the reason he obeyed is because he believed God. Faith will always result in obedience. Always. You can't say, I have faith, and then live contrary to God's instruction. Faith is taking God at his word that results in obeying his instruction. That's what we see in this example of Abraham. God was putting Abraham's faith to the test. He wanted to prove to Abraham and to us that Abraham's faith was genuine, that it wasn't just lip service. He truly believed the promise that God had given him concerning Isaac. In Isaac, this individual right here, this is the one through whom God is going to fulfill all the promises he made to Abraham, that he would truly be a blessing to all the nations because through him was going to come the Redeemer of the whole human race. That was the promise. God gave it. Abraham believed it. But that faith needed to be tested. Do you really believe that's true? God's going to test your faith too. James chapter 1. This is what it means to live by faith. This is what it means to have your faith tested. And so knowing this, and if we believe it, do you see how this is going to change how we respond and react to difficult testings that come in our life? Things that seem to be absolutely contrary to what God has promised us. What could be more contrary to the promise God gave Abraham than for Abraham to slay his son? That makes no sense whatsoever. How tragic that would be. He loved him with all of his heart, yet God demanded this. But Abraham believed the promise. And we'll find out why. There seems to be no hesitation whatsoever on Abraham's part. To me, it's astonishing. I think I would at least spend a week or two saying, God, are you sure this is right? Can you show me something else? I don't know how God communicated to Abraham, but it was obviously very clear that God was speaking to him and commanded this. But, I would say, God, are you really sure this? Because you said this, and this seems to annul what you just said. But he believed that if God wanted him to do this, which clearly he did, and since the promise is true, God can't lie, Isaac's the one, then that must mean that if I slay my son, God's going to raise him from the dead. Now, that's faith. Not demanding, God, you raise him from the dead. Not thinking that would really be nice. But knowing that God promised in Isaac the blessing would come. And so somehow his death will not annul that promise. That's faith. He believed God. James 1 verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, just like Abraham's faith was tested, the testing of your faith produces patience. It's not always instantaneous. He doesn't always give you the answer. God didn't tell Abraham he was going to raise him from the dead. Abraham concluded that, but God didn't tell him that. But his anchor was the promise, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Genuine faith shines the brightest in the time of testing. Today, most people, you hear some of these prosperity preachers, and they point to their wealth and their health as signs of their faith. God points to the trial of the believer and their faithfulness and patience in the trial, and he says, that's faith. That's genuine faith. This is so contrary to what's being taught today, but this is what it means to believe God. So now apply that to your situation. God's going to test your faith. You say you believe God. You say you believe all these promises that we have in Scripture. But when things appear to contradict everything you believe, are you still going to trust him, worship him, serve him, be busy about his business, knowing that God has a plan, and that when it's all said and done, when the dust settles, God will show himself faithful? That's faith. We have the example, of course, of Job. We won't turn there for time's sake, but there in chapter 1, you know how that God pointed Satan to Job, knowing good and well what Satan was going to want to do. God says, look at my servant Job. He has faith. He's a righteous man. He's upright. And Satan said, he's only faithful. He only worships you. He gives you lip service because you bless him. That's the only reason he believes in you. That's what Satan said. And so God said, go ahead. Take everything but his life. And when it was all said and done, Job had questions. He didn't understand a lot of things, but he still believed that God was who he said he was. He didn't sin with his lips. He didn't contradict that God was who he said he was. His faith was tested. Again, God will test your faith. Abraham's faith has matured to this point that it's intimidating, the faith of Abraham. Abraham, when he turned to his servants and said, you wait here, and we're going to go, Isaac and I are going yonder, and we both will return. Abraham believed that. He spoke it. The emphasis of this passage, it's not about God giving to man what man demands, but it's about man worshiping God. A life of faith is an act of worship. This is what Abraham said to his servants as well. We're going to worship God. We're going to build an altar and worship him. Your life of faith is an act of worship. I do what I do. I say what I say. I go where I go because I believe God is God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe his instructions for my life concerning my morality and my integrity and how I'm to deal with others, both saved and unsaved. I believe that everything God instructs me is right, and therefore, because I worship God, I believe God, and I act accordingly. That is faith. Has nothing to do with you demanding of God anything. Has everything to do with you worshiping God, believing him, and obeying. Romans 10:17. So many boast in faith. They say, I have faith for this, I have faith for that. But Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You cannot have faith, genuine faith, for anything that God has not spoken, for anything that God has not promised. And so for those who tell you that if you are sick, all you have to do is demand of God healing and you will have it. God has not promised, not given an unconditional promise of healing. God heals. The healing was purchased on the cross. That provision is there, but it's according to his will. Whatever is going to accomplish his will in you and through you, if that's a miracle, if that's a physical healing, you're going to have it. But he hasn't promised that every time we're sick, he'll heal us. He hadn't promised that we'll be rich beyond our imagination, like some people teach. He's never promised that, not in earthly treasures at least. God has promised a lot of things. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He said that. I can believe that. So whatever I need, physically, materially, emotionally, whatever I need to do his will, I will have. That's the confidence and that's the faith I can have because he said that. But I can't have faith that God's going to give me $1 million tomorrow. He's never promised me that. He's never said that. Faith comes by hearing. God specifically told Abraham, you slay your son, you go to a specific place, and you do this. Abraham did it. That's faith. But all of this imagination, this carnal imagination that man has, I just have to dream up things for God to do for me, and it's going to happen. It's foolishness. And it leads to disappointment, and it leads to too many of God's people falling by the wayside. But if you will believe what God has said, you'll be strong, and you will come out blessed, just like Abraham. It looked like Abraham was going into this trial and was going to lose everything that was dear to him. That's what it looked like. That seemed to be what God said. But his faith caused him to go into that trial knowing he was going to come out on the other side. We'll return. Both of us will return. He knew that. The command that God gave Abraham, it just seemed cruel. Have you ever been tempted to think when you're going through a difficult time, whether it be a tragic loss, whether it be physical or emotional, have you ever been tempted to think, Lord, this is cruel. I'm your child. I believe you. I worship you. I trust you. Why? We have that tendency, don't we? Lord, why are we going through this? Why did you let it happen to me? For many Christians who continue to entertain those doubts, it leads to bitterness, bitterness toward God. But if we have the faith that Abraham had, it won't lead to bitterness. It'll lead to patience. Let's see what God's going to do. It'll lead to obedience. God, I'm going to do what you've instructed me to do because I know you're still God. And I still know you are my Father and that you love me. So I'm still going to do what a loving, obedient son should do, or daughter. All of Abraham's hopes and dreams and his future was wrapped up in this lad that God said, slay. Are you willing to surrender all of your dreams, all of your hopes, all of your plans, and say, God, not my will, but your will be done? Are we really? I mean, you know, it's so easy to say, Lord, whatever your will is, that's fine with me. Is it really? Stop and think about some of the tragedies that God's people have experienced. Some of the things that God has allowed in my life, just looking at it, and people from the outside have looked in and said things like, how can you continue to worship a God who lets that happen? And sometimes God's people think that way. But God will show himself faithful. Trust him. Obey his loving instruction. Even when it feels like God has allowed some, and even ordered some cruel things in your life. They may seem cruel, but ultimately they are the leading of a loving Father who has an eternal plan for you. In Matthew 8, again for time we won't turn there, most of you are familiar with the time when Jesus told his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. He didn't say, let's go to the middle of the lake and drown. He said, let's go to the other side. And a storm came up and it looked like they were going to drown in the middle of the lake. Jesus was sound asleep. He knew he was going to make it to the other side. But his disciples woke him up and said, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? And sometimes it seems like that. God, don't you care what I'm going through, why I'm hurting? But then when you put that in the bigger context, why was Jesus there in that boat in the first place? Why was he on earth and not in heaven? Because he cared. He came to minister to the greatest need of those disciples and of every human being, a Savior. Of course he cared. And since he cared so much that he was willing to lay down his life, he also cares about the storms of life. He's going to be there. He's going to help us to get to the other side. We may get a little wet along the way, but we're going to make it to the other side. We have to trust him and not despair and not panic like the disciples did. Well, let's go to Hebrews 11. I think we'll close with this. But in Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19, we're not left to guess why Abraham didn't argue with God. He just did it. God told him, slay the lad. Without delay, he gathered everything, prepared to slay his son. And here in Hebrews 11, the Holy Spirit makes it clear why he did that, how deep his faith really was. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. By faith, genuine faith that was tested and proved. When he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Notice the elements here. It's because he received the promises. That's why he believed God. That's why he had faith. That's why he offered up his son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. He didn't demand God to resurrect him. He concluded, I'm going to kill him. In Abraham's mind, he didn't know and he didn't demand that God stop him in the middle of it. He didn't know that. He didn't demand it. But he concluded, if God's going to have me kill him, and since the promise is the blessing's coming through him, that I have to conclude he's going to raise him from the dead. And just even to come to that conclusion based on faith from what the promise was, as far as we know, no one else had been resurrected from the dead to this point in history. We're not given any record of it. And for him to even come to that conclusion, to me, it's amazing. The depths of his faith. Can we trust God with that kind of faith? We don't know always how he's working or why. We just know he is because he said he was. All things work together for my good. That's a promise. He said, I can have faith in that. Even when I can't understand it or see it or things seem to contradict it and it seems cruel, what he's allowing, I know it's working for me. An eternal, greater measure of glory for eternity. This life's going to be over so soon anyway. I'm ready. I've enjoyed life and I want to enjoy it to my last breath and I want to be used of the Lord until the day he says, you know, you've run your race. But if that's today, I'm okay with that. Because he has something far greater for me prepared than this life. As good as it is with his faithfulness, We can't even begin to comprehend what He's prepared for us. This life is over so quickly. May we not get focused on this moment in this world, but may we in faith believe that Jesus is coming. He promised it. We can believe that. And that He's prepared a place for us in heaven. And for those that are willing to live by faith like Abraham, we've been promised a place at the right hand of Jesus Christ to rule and reign with Him at His side. People may think you're crazy, but I believe it because God said it. Well, we'll stop there and we'll continue to look at some other things, Lord willing. Next week, concerning Abraham's faith,